This episode of the Webcomic Beacon is rated higher than usual because of the content. We're talking about adult webcomics this week. So, if you are underage, you should probably get your mommy's or daddy's permission before listening to the rest of this.
Or if you're easily offended by talking about skin.
I'm going to cuss a lot.
All right.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
This will get us some readers for sure.
All right, welcome to episode 30 of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Fess of Fessfix.com, and with me, Tanya of Betapwn.com.
Hello, hello.
Aaron Lewis of TBowlComic.com. And we have a special guest this week, Josh Lesnick of girlywith3ysatthend.com.
Howdy.
I don't know if you have a base website, though. Do you have a home website?
Sorry, oh, I didn't hear that. I was talking over you.
Do you have a home website other than girly? Or
a home website? Joshlesnick.com.
Oh, there you go.
I need to update it, though.
Alrighty. This week we are talking about adult webcomics. So if you missed that disclaimer at the beginning, you're obviously fast-forwarding. First off, Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Excellent. And thanks very much for coming on the show. This is something we've been wanting to do for a long time.
Oh, nice.
We do devolves into porn anyway, so we might as well just dedicate a show to it. So much easier.
Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. When did you first start doing webcomics?
I did them back before I knew other people did them, except for like this little group of friends that I was with. I'd say like back in 96, 97, that kind of those years.
So definitely a veteran.
Yeah, kind of. There's like a few guys. Like, we didn't do webcomics quite in the form that you know them now. That we would go to like a site, the Fan Art Headquarters is one of the sites and stuff like that. And we'd all just do like little, we'd take turns writing comics and post them on one site and stuff like that. And
okay.
And so, yeah, eventually it evolved into what we see now.
So what was your first full-fledged actual webcomic? Or comic series, I should say.
I would give that to Wendy. I go ahead and give that to say Wendy. That's like when I started doing it in the format, the usual format, update schedules, an actual update schedule, all that kind of stuff. So yeah,
is that the same as Cute Wendy or
actually different? And it's really confusing too. But yeah, basically, I started Wendy in 1999, and that had her and three other girls, and then Cute Wendy was a completely different character who was designed the same and had the same name, and that had only like two girls in it, so that's how you know the difference. But the funny thing, actually, I'm sort of brought the original Wendy character back, and I went ahead and like redid her design and everything, so that she's completely separate from Cute Wendy now. So maybe people won't be confused. Who knows?
And I know recently you have Cute Wendy for purchase in book form.
Against my better judgment, it wasn't really that popular a comic, but I went ahead and did another run of the book that sold out. Like one reason, the main reason I did it was because the first time I had that book printed on the original printer didn't do a great job with it, and books kept falling apart and stuff. So I wanted to have one decent run of it. So I went ahead and self-published it a couple years ago. And yeah, it collects all the comics. And I like it, so.
That's awesome. And from there you eventually came up with Girly, which is still kind of somewhat based off it, but not really?
Yeah. it doesn't make quite as many references to the old comic anymore. The next chapter might. But yeah, you just all you really need to know is that it's the daughter of the characters, and Mm-hmm. And like, if you read the comic, you'd get the references, but you don't have to read it anymore. You know, I'm making it so it stands on its own.
Right. Let's see. Oh shoot, brain fart. What was I going to say?
That's okay.
This is edit.
I don't edit that much anymore. I just leave all the mistakes in so people can laugh at and ridicule me. Okay, I'll go ahead and plug it. Also, you can buy the girly series in book form as well.
Yeah, I need to work. Book three is really late, and I need to work on it. But yeah, this is the first two books could have sold better, but on the other hand, I could have put more effort into them too. I think a little bit of this and that. So, like book three, I'm going to like probably redo some of the. Well, there's like actually a lot of comics I really need to revise that a lot. So. It'll take me a while to work on this book, but I'm working on it. Or actually, I'm not working on it at the moment, but I will work on it soon.
Well, cool. And yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, I've loved Girly for like a long time. I discovered webcomics like 3 years ago, and you know, Girly was one of the first, I guess, 10 that I started reading. So I was pretty hooked by it. So really excited.
Good to hear. Yeah, it's changed a bit since then too.
Oh yeah. Definitely, and that's always a good thing, you know. Everything's got to evolve.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
And eventually, you evolved into drawing adult web comics.
Yeah, pretty much. I've been drawing adult comics since like probably around the same time I've even been starting web comics, which, to be honest, was like way too early. I didn't really know how to draw them back then, but eventually I learned how.
So why, and I hate to derail if Fess has bullet points here, but what exactly was it that got you started, like, versus just doing normal people webcomics?
What made
you? I'm not really entirely sure exactly what voice came to me and said, you should do this. You might be able to do it for a living or whatever. I just kind of started trying to do that, and it turns out what helped me, like, kind of, I guess, influenced me was that, like, the first comic I actually got published, like, in print turned out to be an adult comic, and it was terrible. I'm not going to say what it was, but this was back in, like, 97, I think, and so I guess, you know, adult comics got my foot in the door in a way, and so that would, of course, kind of help me want to stick with it. But, I guess my first really decent published comic was also an adult comic, and that I'll say is that was called Paul Up the Hunter. That was published for Radio Comics. And yeah. I know that's a weird name for a character. I'm not sure what I was thinking exactly, but yeah.
That was just funny because I didn't know that was you. I knew the comic, but I didn't know that it was you. Now I'm a bad hostess.
So was it going to be eventually a springboard for non-adult comics, or are you planning to stay in adult forever?
I've kind of went back and forth and changed my mind a lot about that. Like there were times when I thought that if I like did adult comics, it wouldn't be quite as big as an accomplishment. Because it's kind of it's easier to get people interested in pornography, but
yeah.
since then what I've been thinking is like it's really no different than like doing a gamer comic or anything like that. It's it's kind of, if you go for any kind of niche, you're kind of getting a boost in the whole getting attention, getting people interested kind of thing. And like when you think about it, while the internet may have like no shortage of pornography, there really isn't a lot of webcomics that do it, and certainly not a lot of quality webcomics that do it. So, I don't really feel bad about that. I'm kind of contrary to that kind of under like
searching for a fancy word.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that too. But yeah, I'm kind of contributing to that whole pool of tiny pool of quality adult webcomics. And
there are a lot of adult webcomics, but a great many of them are, you know, as we've discussed before, orc porn and things of that nature that have sort of been put together in paint and are not attractive or well done.
Or a lot of times it's just, you know, just collections of pinup art and doesn't really, like, connect to anything. So it's, you know, more like a collection of pinup versus a collection of, you know, strips or comics, actually.
Yeah, that's like most of the drawn porn on the internet. Really pinup art that's not even done any, you know, particularly unique art style. They usually just try to mimic what the characters look like.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's okay if that's your thing, but it's not really my thing.
It's not that creative either.
Yeah.
You don't like stick figures with two circles under the head?
For boobs? Those are excellent.
A little bit of that too, yeah.
I'm sure there's some of that. World's Worst Webcomic had some of that, I think.
Hey, Aphes. Yes? I'm getting like a ton of people on Talk to You saying they lost audio. Just FYI.
That's Talk Show for you.
Yeah, can't do much about it.
Let's see here.
Well, when did you start? Wait, if I got this wrong, correct me. When did you start Slipshine, or did you not start it?
I started it. Yes, I did. This was back in 2001, I believe. It would be like December 2001 when I, shortly after I graduated and was running out of money. it's kind of weird to talk about. I wasn't entirely ready to try something like that, but I went ahead and went for it because it just seemed like a good time for it. So when I started Slipshine, basically I wanted to try and make some kind of living off webcomics on the internet. And I knew the only way to really do it was to start a pay site and contribute like pretty much all the material. So that's what it was originally. Slipshine was just like me, my comics. And eventually I called in a couple friends. I don't know if you know Robert DeJesus. He was the first artist that joined me. And he like sent a few pages, so I did like 30 pages. He did like 3 each month.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like that for a while. So like, because I did like pretty much all the material on the site, I could get by with just a few subscribers. And that's pretty much how it was at first. So yeah. What do you think? And I think the first couple comics I did was like they're pretty anime thin, the bounty hunter comic I mentioned, mm-hmm. and then some silly schoolgirl comic or whatever.
Hey, Fester, but yeah, that's how it started.
Not pretty interesting to think about, but yeah.
Let's see. As far as Slipshine goes, it's been going on for a while. What are some of the most popular ones on there, if people were interested?
It's really hard to completely gauge the popularity, but of some. But I know that a lot of people joined because the artist of Losers, Eric Oshonik, I hope I pronounced his last name right. He did Losers, and eventually he moved on, and I asked him, can't remember exact circumstances, but I asked him to do comics
Welcome
for my
to
site.
Talk Shoe. Please.
Sorry about
Thank
that.
Talk Shoe. But yeah, I asked him to do comics for my site, and when he started doing that, he took a lot of readers over, and so that kind of actually helped contribute a lot to Slipshine's growth. So he's been great about that. So yeah, he definitely has a following. There's also Anathema, which for a while used to be like half the updates was that comic. It's not quite as dominating anymore, but because it used to be like a lot of people started to gain a following of that, and there's like, I don't know, 1,000 pages of that in the archives too, so that definitely helps. And
and
of course it's a very well drawn comic too, so it's yeah. That's by John or JJ as he likes to be called when he does adult comics. And then Moon Over June is gaining popularity. That's like the kind of weekly comic we got. It's a humor comic by Walk Girl, and that's actually my favorite comic on the site. It's about two roommates who are supposedly just roommates, but they sure do act like a couple a lot. And one's a porn star, the other's a gynecologist. Lots of fun. Yeah.
He's an excellent pairing.
Awesome. Let's see here. Before we go to the first break, I wanted to bring up Dr. Voluptua, which, if I'm saying it right.
Yep.
And, if I remember right, if I've heard right, this was once on Slipshine, because Slipshine is, there's a pay version of it, of course, and you can see some of the stuff for free. And was this originally from there, and you decided to make it free,
I can't get into like exactly why, but something came up that made me want to try to do free comics just to see how it would pan out.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and wanted to take one of the comics off Slipshine and try to do that, and I didn't want to like subject the other artist to that kind of experiment. So I went ahead and took one of my own comics. And it also worked out because Slipshine like needed more space for the other artists anyway. So, I went ahead and took that off and tried to see like how it would do. And it's okay. It's difficult, but it's doing okay. I'm not really making needless to say, I'm not really making quite as much money as when it was a subscription. But I got the bigger audience, so it's kind of a weird trade off with that kind of webcomic thing.
Right.
I'm still thinking about what exactly to do after I finish this story. I could move it back to Slipshine or not. It's kind of hard. It's hard to say exactly. I enjoy having a lot of people read it, but it's amazing how hard it is to really make a living off adult comics when you don't have a subscription service.
Right.
Because, like,
yeah.
Nobody wants to do business with you or take your credit cards or any of that. You know, you can't use
PayPal?
Yeah. Can't use that, So
you can't. Why not?
No, not with adult merchandise, no.
Oh,
no.
That's right. They don't allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
So, yeah. Like, there's pretty much just subscription services are really the only easy way to do it. Otherwise you gotta like get these merchant accounts and all that kind of stuff. And I really should do that, but I haven't had time to get into it.
Right.
But I kind of need to, if I want to really hope to make any, like there's ad sales for Dr. Voluptua, but I do need to try to think of other ways to do stuff. But we'll see if I can think of anything, or if it'll go right back to Slipshine.
Maybe try to get pre-orders on a book collection of the comics. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to do that, but then I can't really sell it online because without getting a credit card merchant account, it's kind of weird.
Well, you could do it directly from your site, too, of course. You can't put it on Amazon.com or anything, but...
You probably can, actually. I don't know what the rules are. I used to have adult books on there.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. Well, anyone who is of the appropriate age, check out the drvoluptua.com. Get it while it's free, I guess. It's a pretty crazy awesome adult comic, actually. Especially this last story has just been just hilarious and crazy awesome. But
yeah, that last story's been kind of, it's going on for like 50 pages now. It's like kind of got away from me there, but yeah, it's been fun.
Well, awesome. Well, we're going to take our first break and see if we can get our chat room and broadcasting up again. And for now, listen to some break music.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Yeah, some issues with Talk Shoe, and hopefully they're back now. But let's see, we're back from the break. We are here with Josh Lesnick, as though you forgot. And let's talk about some adult web comics that are on the web elsewhere. Josh, are there any that you read other than what are on Slipshine?
There's one I can think of like off the top of my head, and that's Jess Fink's comics, particularly the Chester 5000 comic, which she posts in her live journal, which sadly hasn't updated in a while. But that's actually one of my favorite like adult comics like in general, so I definitely recommend that people look that up.
I was just talking to Tanya about that before the show, that I just kind of, you know, did a search on adultwebcomics.com, and I found this, and it's like, it's a real cool type of, I guess it's steampunk, technically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a kind of classic setting, really romantic, too. It's really
Done. It's creative, too. It doesn't have any dialogue whatsoever, and
yeah,
it's done in a really wonderful ink wash, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. It's her style there.
It definitely has a story going, something that's really interesting. Not just porn or robotic porn, but it's really cool. Any others?
I can't think of any at the moment. I know there are probably some others. But yeah, let me look.
Well, while you're looking,
there are a couple other subscription sites. I don't read them regularly, I have to admit, but there's like another one from my friends at Radio Comics called Sin Factory Online, and unfortunately, I haven't actually seen the contents of the site, but I'm sure it's good. Got lots of classic authors, actually, like Sean Howell and others. Mm-hmm.
There was one I was looking at, really, you know, doing some research for the show. There is one called Lucy Lovebottom, which I just kind of found. It's the art style is kind of a throwback to like the old school, I guess, superhero comics of the Golden Ages or something like that, or whatever the Silver Age, whatever they're called. It has the really nice ink work and, well, you can kind of guess the content of the comic, especially with Special Agent ASS in there.
See, Lucy Lovebot, you say? How's that spelled? I'm trying to look it up.
Lucy Lovebottom with a V, L-U-V.
I see. Okay, I'm going to look at that. Google's not helping me for some reason.
They must not like porn stuff. Look on adultwebcomics.com, and under comics you should find it.
Okay.
That's also where Chester 5000 XYV was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Okay, I see. Okay. Yeah, I haven't looked around at adultwebcomics.com that much, which is kind of odd. since I do like adult webcomics, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I haven't had too much time to do research on this subject myself too much. There was another one that just kind of caught my eye. It was Fiona's Time Machine, which I think might be old, but it has like one thing on there. Basically, this girl gets a golden dildo in the mail for some reason. And she's using it because she's like pissed off at her ex-boyfriend or something like that. And then she goes back in time with it because it's a time machine.
Oh, the dildo is.
I'm like, what the hell?
This is an excellent concept. I can't say that, you know, of all the bizarre packages you might get in the mail, that you would immediately put that to use. Seems a little suspect.
But I'm surprised there isn't a TV show about that.
Sounds really safe.
Something on Skinamax or something.
Like, you know, 7 series is in now. Sex in the City 2, Golden Dildo. No? Okay. Yeah.
Alrighty.
That's a good idea, though. I like, you know, it's good that stories are, like, they be creative with it. Like, if you go to Japan, a lot of the stories are basically 5 pages of sort of a story and then, like, a big sex scene, and that's pretty much all their comics.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 5 pages of just rampant sex and odd sex. And then it goes back to some other semblance of plot.
And then there's tentacles and whatever.
I'm not going into hentai. That's an entirely different thing.
Yeah, maybe another episode.
there's going to be as many tentacles as they're used to. I think they're like trying to get away from that stereotype or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's one that I've one adult webcomic that I've seen, which you know has like a regular plot to it. I guess it's kind of a fetishy one too, but it's Ellie and All the Others at elle.comicgenesis.com, which I guess is one of the few Comic Genesis adult comics that I've seen anyway. It revolves around this I guess elf. She has like long pointy ears or whatever. She picks the main guy and puts this collar around his neck that makes him irresistible to women around him. And of course, you know, funny situations ensue as well as, you know, sex scenes. But I don't know. Has anyone else read this?
I'm very Inuyasha.
I haven't read that one actually.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's popular in its own right. I don't know. I keep coming back to it just because it's kind of the good bad type of situation. But in any case, yeah, I know a lot of people like that one. Let's see. And also, you know, we're not gonna leave the furs out there without something to look at. People that are into furry porn or yiffers, I guess, can check out furafterdark.com. It's another pay site, so I haven't really checked it out because I really don't go on pay sites. But there's some samples on there, and they got like art and also yiff porn. So
Club Stripes.
Oh yes, ClubStripes.com. Yes,
that's actually, even if you're not a furry, you might find some of the stuff there pretty good because they've got some talented guys there. So yeah.
Yeah, there's a character named Zigzag, which actually I think gets around between all the different type of yiff sites. she's a popular character.
Everywhere. Is this the same one that appears in like Sabrina Online or?
Yeah, Sabrina Online, and she's also made appearances in Badly Drawn Kitties, and she's also in Fur After Dark as well. I've seen some. I think Fur After Dark is kind of like a collection of stuff as well as from Max the Black Rabbit.
I think she brings like all the furry universes together into one, just that one character.
Ooh, that reminds me. I gotta write that down. Let's see here. there's somebody who's trying to collect all the related universes, like webcomics and the related universes together, and I don't think that he brought that one together. So I think I'll let him know.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's see here. As far as like other comics, there's really not a whole lot out there, unless like you said, it's either the pinup stuff. Otherwise, there are some web comics which will have some aspects in it, like the Challenges of Zona or Zona at BarbarianPrincess.com. It's a computer generated comic, which isn't that bad actually, but there's a lot of sexual talk in there, some sex scenes, but they don't really they don't show much, so I guess it still would be PG-13, but it gets a little a little heated from now and then. Anders Loves Maria is another web comic which it has some serious drama relationship stuff in there as well, but it also has plenty of nudity in there as well, but it's kind of really cartoony. But
yeah, I love that comic. It's kind of funny. I really don't think of it as like pornographic at all, even though I know a lot of people probably would.
Yeah, it's not really, but it's enough to put a warning on it.
You go to also White Lightning Productions has an adult section. They're the ones that have The Magnificent Milkmaid, which I can't believe no one here has heard of. Because there's a superhero power right there. And I know they've got, I can't agree to the quality of all of them, but they've got some good ones.
I did work for White Lightning a long time ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's an interesting...
I think like the first Wendy porn was published by him, so...
Excellent.
Thanks, Chris.
We all appreciate it. Does anybody have any pet peeves when it comes to adult webcomics?
Oh, I definitely have one. Well, Josh is thinking, my personal pet peeve when it comes to not to just, I guess, you know, comic porn, but like any type of porn, I guess is, I think a lot of people would agree with me, is like when the woman is like horribly portrayed as some sort of like, you know, object, and not as a character, as in you might as well just have a doll there instead. That always kind of pisses me off.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about comics is you can say that about any comic, though, because it's not in even just adult comics where people objectify.
Right. Yeah.
Superhero comics is another big one.
Right.
Well, the thing is that, you know, especially with adult comics, it's hard to, it's sexier, it's more interactive if, you know, everyone's involved and present as an actual character, so.
Right.
It makes sense.
Yeah, there's too much, like, porn where, like, the everything's just so negative. Like, there's got to be rape or domination, and some people fantasize about that, and that's okay. But yeah, like, I think it can be a problem. Like, there's a lot of comics like that coming from Japan, mm-hmm. and like, Japan inspires a lot of artists these days. So, like, people will just draw those kind of stories, and they don't know how to do anything else. And like,
well, yeah, and the thing is especially with like BDSM type comics is that there is a psychology behind it, and you can absolutely tell when it's something that somebody's sort of mimicking or assuming that they know how it works, and it comes off more violent and bitter than anything else, which is not really what we're looking for.
It gets so weird. Like, I understand that there's fantasies about that, and since we're with comics, you know, it's fiction, so. Like, it's not quite as bad, like, since it's still a fantasy. But still, there's just so many comics like that out there. And I can just use more, like, you know, sex-positive stories. And I've actually kind of made that Slipshine's rule that all the stories have to kind of be in that theme. Like, if you want like, crazy monster rape or whatever, you can go somewhere else for that.
Right. Well, and I think another thing that Tawny's kind of trying to say, and she can correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the stuff you have to wonder... Like, we had problems on webcomic list in the past where you had to really start wondering if some of the people that were writing this stuff were, like, genuinely disturbed.
Yes.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And so
there's
it starts...
maybe something wrong with them.
Yeah, it's like, okay, fantasy, people can kind of do the suspension of disbelief on fantasy, but some of the stuff that's like, this person could really be sick, and we know they're young, and maybe their parents should know what they're writing about.
Yeah, there are some times where you think maybe you should just keep those fantasies to yourself.
Right.
Well, have you ever
No, preferably share them with a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Or that.
And so have you ever had to, like, turn somebody in when something gets, like, too weird or no?
For one of my artists?
Does it ever
not
get
really.
That
I've never really gotten anything hardcore. I did have to, like, actually make it a rule, like, no rape stories, because I got a couple of those, and I put my foot down on that, but that's pretty much as bad as it got.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is good.
My biggest pet peeve, and I have to get this out, sweat in webcomics.
Oh, gross.
No. In all adult webcomics, you come to those scenes where everyone's sort of bathed in sweat, and it can either be done sort of appropriately. Like, I like the way Josh does it. I like the way that you do that. It's sort of suggested...
But they're kind of bathed.
Well, but it's not. There are a number of comics where it literally looks as though they're wearing a plasma. Like, it's an additional layer that has been added on top of the characters. And everything looks like a Bukkake flick. At that
point. I guess it depends on how you draw it.
Yeah. Yeah. You do good. It's like hinted.
You just make it a little bit shinier and draw a few droplets. In effect, accomplished.
But when everything's connected and it's running and it looks
goopy.
Yes. Okay, I see what you mean now. Yeah,
you think? I need to take a shower.
People, some people who do porn comics think there has to be like liquid everywhere and like so they're drooling, like they have brain damage or something. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's drooling and there's fountains and waterfalls and just
too,
all over the place. And then I'm done.
I used to be guilty of that back in the day, but yeah, kind of.
Well, thank you for learning.
I do want to mention a couple of, since it was mentioned BDSM, There's a couple of webcomics, because one of these guys posted on the webcomic list forums a while back. And if you go to utopiastories.com, it's a BDSM site, and you click on features, there's a couple of actually BDSM webcomics. One doesn't update anymore, but it was kind of like a cute, funny thing. It was Crimson Latex, but that guy like stopped like a long time ago, February, I think. And the other one is, I may still be updating, hasn't for a while. It was Changes, which was revolved around BDSM, but also I think one person's, wanting to change one gender to another. And it was actually not that bad when I was reading it, because he posted it in the forum and he was like running a contest or whatever. So I thought I'd check it out. But, they're not done in any, bad way. Especially the Crimson Latex one was actually pretty good. It didn't really get too pornographic, but it had lots of leather.
Gee, leather and BDSM, that's never come together before. Really what it comes down to is any good BDSM story has what's called enthusiastic consent, where the top and the bottom are both very much into it, and then it's not that awkward violence. You know, it's not like the rape stories that Josh was talking about. It's not, and it's appropriately done and therefore readable.
There's a safety word.
There's always a safety word or a system.
Actually, the ironic thing, I know we're getting out of webcomics here, but there's a lot of people in, safety words. Good. Because there's been mistakes that have been made in real
life. There are actually federal regulations regarding BDSM play, and one of the laws is that you have to have the laws posted on the wall in the room where you're engaging in those games.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I learned something today.
No, it was on CNN a while back because there was an accident.
Yeah. And if you have the laws posted and laws have been followed, you can't be prosecuted.
And you can't, get the wrong person on accident either.
Yeah. Oops.
So, wrong apartment. My bad. No, it happened. It was like he got the apartment number wrong.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
And it was no longer a game, but he didn't.
Oh, he didn't know because that's what was supposed to be happening anyway. Yeah. I was like, holy crap, people do this?
Yeah.
Wow. Go to your little rock.
What?
Go back under your rock. Nobody's doing anything. Well, I think the show is pretty much winding down from here. Josh, is there anything? Or winding up, I don't know. Josh, is there anything else you'd like to contribute to add some afterthoughts or whatever?
Just to mention a couple other Slipshine comics I should mention. I'm inevitably going to leave some artists out, and I apologize to them, but there's like a couple I wanted to mention I didn't before. But my personal favorite, should I say that? Well, it's my favorite. Is Momo's comics. He does comics about a gigantic green. One of them's about a gigantic green dildo that helps girls find love, and lots of other stuff like that. Internet porn fairy.
I love internet porn fairy.
Who surf the internet. Lots of stories like that. So that's called Momo Impact. If you check the site, you'll see that. And also, Cheesy Weapon does some really crazy adult stories with monsters and stuff, and like a Lamia girl, and oh, so many neat things. And I thought I'd give him a mention. He's a nice guy. So, and he's got lots of fans. So his is named The Pill and Cheesy World, which are both Slipshine comics, and you should check those out. And also Dragon Fest and Zamora Theater and all those comics. They're all great.
And you can check that out at orgymania.net.
Yes. Or slipshine.net, which might be easier to remember.
I don't know. Orgymania sounds more fun, though.
Good job getting that URL.
Well, alrighty then. Josh, once again, we'd like to thank you for coming on the show with us and talking about the finer adult entertainment on the webcomic world.
No problem. My pleasure.
Alright.
It's good. They're all good.
Alright, we're going to take our last break right here, and we'll bring back a webcomic review, and and some news when we come back.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net, free hosting for free thinkers. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Savory with a webcomic review.
Hey there, I'm here at Charlie's, the webcomicers bar. I had to stop in here because that for a comic I just read, I needed a good stiff belt, and I think you will too. Let me tell you all about it. This little comic I came across is this sweet little comic. It's Lunar Antics by Bob Walters. It's like a newspaper comic. And don't get me wrong. You know me. I love the newspaper style comics. I mean, I make one, right? Well, the humor is kind of lightweight. But that's okay. The artwork, well, it's not Monet, but it's consistent. Dude can draw his little dudes, and that's all good. Why I needed to get a few drinks inside me isn't really the comic itself. It's a bit lightweight, but whatever. I mean, whatever, it's all good. There's an audience for it. And it's nice to see stuff like this now and then. But what happened was, I went to this comic, LunarAntics.com, and right away, I knew this wasn't gonna be my day. In fact, I knew that before I even went there, because I asked Katie to go out with me. And she said she had to stay home and wash her hair that night and every night for the rest of her life. Well, anyway, this comic. First thing, I wanted to find out what it was all about so I could tell you. So I click on this itty bitty link to see the quick intro of a comic. And it says, hey! Why tell you all about the comic when I could show you like a bunch of samples about what the comic's about? So I'm like, cool. I scroll down and find a bunch of empty rectangles with little bitty squares. You know, the little ones with little red X's in them. I wanted to find out about the comic, but it's like the little red X's were mocking me. So, I can't really tell you what it's all about. I guess there's this Earth dude, and he hangs out with a bunch of moon men in Starfleet uniforms with little antennas on their heads. Maybe they're Andorian, I don't know. Well, then I went back to the homepage, right? It's a logical thing to do. And there's all this empty space. Like, it takes up almost half the screen. It's like the content is just a big old tombstone sticking out of the snow in the wintertime. And the comic, it's so itty-bitty. Bob, I know you're trying to make a newspaper comic, God bless you, but you don't have to make it as small as it actually printed in the paper. Like, what is it, 8 pixels wide? And then there's this stuff under the comic. It's like a bunch of links. And I'm thinking the same thing you're thinking, right? That it's like an index. You know, here's a comic I did about birds. And here's some Lunar Antics comics about sports and stuff like that. Is that what it is? No, it's just a bunch of Google links. It's nothing to do with the comic, it's just there. Like, it's part of the comic, but it's not part of the comic. This website is like a cheap broad you meet out at the bar. Oh, she flirts, and she talks all sexy, and she acts like she's all interested. Then she eventually gets up to go use the phone or the restroom or whatever, and she never comes back. And then I'm the one left on the bill for all the drinks. Bob Waters, you make a cute little comic. But you seriously need to get your butt a web designer. Designer. No mistake there, Mr. Man by Godfrey. No mistake at all. While the rest of you just go on and do whatever. You go to your parties and on your dates and to your taffy pulls and your dinner theater. Well, I just stay right here. Hey, Charlie! Give me another. And you better make it a double. And keep them coming.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com.
This is Byron of StretchFight.org bringing you the weekly ringside update. Last week, round 162 of the Cake Robot went to rookie Lance Starsweeper. Lance finished everyone off and went for a victory dance. Our fighters are roaring into this week's round 163, Inner Animal. Miko comes out of his shell. Zach beefs up. Max brings up the rear. Jacob battles himself while Peter gets shell-shocked. Kim has a leg up. Steve goes nuts. Aaron tests himself, and Nick lets the dogs out. This week we have 9 contenders battling for the title. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round, 164, Deserted Island, still has a few days left before the deadline on June 29th. Get those entries in. StripFight.org. May the best comic win.
Awesome. Okay, now...
Any impressions?
No, they're not called impressions. It's the beacon searchlight. I had not received any new things, and I didn't. Well, we did promote it last time. The webcomic beacon searchlight. I do encourage everyone who submitted for a webcomic impression before to resubmit and say that we never got to you, because basically the rules are off, except for have 20 strips, a good basis to look at. Basically, you could have 2,000 comics, and we'll take a look at it. Basically, quick impression. We're going to thumb through it, look at it, give our opinions on it, and there you go. If you don't want to possibly hear bad things or non-positive things about it, don't submit. And so before we get into, we could do something real quick since we kind of had a short second segment there. We are going to. Oh, I gotta add this. I got the music ready for it. But I don't have Witchy Bunny to do the voiceover yet. But I'm gonna find it, and we're gonna. Where is that wave file? Right here. Okay, there is a new new thing that we're. Oh, whoops! No, not found. Oh wait, here we are. And let's see here. What it is, Actually, Aaron, would you like to introduce what we're planning?
Yes, I will, as a matter of fact. So, I need to pull up the official name for it, so I say right.
Sweet.
Webcomic Rescue, is that what we're talking about?
Yes, Webcomic Rescue.
Webcomic Rescue, formerly known as ArcStorm, which I... No, I'm joking. So...
This is what spawned from our webcomic brainstorm sessions.
Yep, and let's see. Basically, you submit your URL, title, genre, style, update schedule, reason for why you're doing your comic, reason why you're stuck, and how long, ideally, you'd like to keep doing your comic, and we pick a different genre every episode that we do a webcomic rescue. And as a team, which is so far the three of us, and possibly one more, Fess, do you know yet?
Yeah, we're going to try a couple with Eric from Xern.com, and see how well that goes. Otherwise, you know, because we're trying to keep it to about 20 minutes, and it might be too many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak, but we're going to give it a whirl.
And it's just going to be, basically, we want to help you plan out, like, your next arc, you know, so your next maybe 20 episodes, not like plan out every single frame word for word, but give you some ideas to get you re-inspired.
Yeah, like if your webcomic has stalled alongside of the road, you might hear this.
Kick ass.
Ignore that.
It's going to be better once I get the voiceover in there. I have to think of a few creative lines, but I'm really excited. I'm pumped.
Yep, and it doesn't matter if it's a Blomic or Blogic. It doesn't matter if it's a it doesn't matter if it's a stick figure comic. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm sure even adult comics we will probably have an episode where we help somebody, as long as you're not psychotic. Too much. Ninja pirates, we will help you. Ninja pirate people, furry people, it doesn't matter. You know, we'll do a different genre every comic rescue episode.
Yep.
So like if you've written yourself into a plot corner or just don't know where you're going or
if you like your comic but you just can't figure out where to push it from here.
Yeah.
And
push it.
Yeah, push it. next week I'm hoping to get some of the Cornstalkers on here to do a community showcase. Admittedly, they're not as a whole they're not as active as they once used to be, but I got personal reasons why I want to get them on as well. And I think I got some questions for them that should be an overall great look at how communities work and how they run and how they pan out sometimes. And I think it would be a good episode. We're going to spend half the episode talking about that. And Aaron, if you think you can set up a webcomic rescue for next week, we could probably do it Sunday afternoon. We can give it a whirl.
I will try to talk to some people.
All right. Well, take a look, find out. Other news this week, we've got a milestone that has been reported to us. And remember, it's best if you email your milestone reportages to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, because if you post it anywhere else, it's by chance that one of us will see it, and by chance we'll actually remember.
Yeah.
We're artists just like you, which means we can't keep track of anything.
It's just the way it works.
It's a lot easier if I got a list of unread emails to go through. And the milestone reported this week is Cooties, which has hit its 2-year mark, and that's at cooties.comicgenesis.com, which is a really sweet comic. And we actually got a request to focus on coloring as a subject, or a theme to talk about. So I think that'll be our next one we're going to focus on, at least for a we'll do at least a small version of it. We got to pull some resources together for that as well, so we, you know, we can appear to know what we're talking about.
See if we can get Ed from Geek Tragedy.
You think he'd be a good person to have on for coloring?
He's doing, well, first of all, he does his own coloring, which is excellent. And he also does it for Evil Incorporated. He colors Evil Incorporated now.
Oh, I think you did mention that.
I did.
Aaron, did you also mention somebody for coloring?
Well, I mentioned somebody for people that are coordinating their art through somebody else.
Ah, that would also be something really good.
That was a different topic, though.
Excellent.
But I was going to, if we want to do the short version right now, paint bucket. All right.
Ta-da! Done!
Yeah, that's another one I want to do, the scripting, like the writing for another person to do your thing. That would be another great episode, and I know some people have been asking about that as well.
Yeah, and I know someone who's, you know, an expert on that. So.
All right, cool. And I also have... go ahead.
No, because I am not an expert on that. So.
Okay. Well, I've had experience both ways, on both ends, being an artist, getting scripts, and also working with the writer to create a script for the artist, talking about, you know, Ardra, which is how it goes. But also, I wanted to mention last week, remember we had Mike from Wagon Webcomic Battle, the trading card game?
Yes.
I presently have the contest set up at theshifterarchive.com. I'm calling it the Draw to Win contest. See, you get it?
Yeah, I get it. Like, you draw a card or draw a card.
Yay! And then,
thank you, Tanya.
You're so welcome.
And that's set up to go at theshifterarchive.com. I seriously really want to see a big turnout on this. First, second, and third place will win, basically. First place will be deemed a rare card, and they will get the limited edition zero deck. Second place will get the alpha deck, and third place will get the beta deck, and everyone will make sure that they get their own card. And I think this is going to be really, really fun, and I hope a lot of people turn out and just, you know, go ahead and try. We're going to put it up to a public vote, and I got to find some sort of voting machine in order to do that.
How's a good time to start that, Fez? I don't know. Go look for that now.
There was a couple I saw. But we may have to whittle it down to the top 10 if I can't find a system that'll work for if we get more than 10, I guess. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it works. Seat of my pants. Seat of my pants here.
My best that way.
You can pay somebody to do it, probably.
No, I don't like paying people to do things for me.
Pay anybody for anything.
I mean, I'll gladly throw money at advertising, but to pay somebody else to do something which I could probably try to figure out how to learn to do? Yeah.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, I got this thing. Also, let's say, is there any other news that you guys have?
I don't have any news. Are we not doing impressions today? Do we know? I will not allow this show to leave without us mentioning Toy Division.
All right, that's an adult comic, isn't it?
It is an adult comic.
All right, well let's do Toy Division.
Let's do Toy Division. It's found at toydivision.transplantcomics.com, and it doesn't update very regularly, so I'll give you that warning right now. It's like Cupid dolls in Nazi times. It's very wrong in so many ways, but it's so funny and it's so well done. Like there's like a pin up now, but the very last comic is the doctor character, and he's holding a speculum, which for those of you who don't know is used in gynecological exams. And the line is, "Don't tell anyone, but it's actually meant for ponies," which is horrible. The whole comic is it's all in black. Well, most of it's in black and white. The art is excellent, but the punchlines and the plots are this interesting combination between funny and absolutely horrible. And
I don't like some of it because sometimes the women get treated really terribly.
You know what? The women are really horrible people. I'm sorry.
I know, but it still makes me a little uneasy sometimes. I mean, they're all terrible characters, as in they're like evil almost. But
well, they're Nazis, for goodness sake.
Well, yeah.
I'm having a lot of like cozy Nazis depicted.
Alrighty then.
They're treated a little trashily, but
yeah.
You know what? I am a woman, believe it or not, and it
doesn't. No.
I am.
Dun, dun dun
dun. Yeah, that's the big reveal for this episode.
Jeez, well, I learned something today.
But I don't find it offensive at all.
Alrighty. Let's see here. Yeah, I guess I kind of already gave my impressions of it. Similar things to you. There's not that many strips. It doesn't update too regularly, but it's got some charmers in there. It does. Aaron.
I remember reading this a while back and the jokes being way over my head.
Oh. You can call me. I'll explain them.
And plus, it's that urge to print it out, paint bucket it all, scan it in,
send
it all back and go, here you go. I colored it for you. It took 10 seconds.
Actually, you should do that. I did that once for Witchy Bunny had like this art up on Fur Affinity. And it was like in black and white. It was just outlines. It's like, I want to color that to show her that I could color it, because I was going to be coloring her comic for a little bit anyway. And I just took it and I just colored it. And then one thing that's hard to do when you just take something and color it, it doesn't work all that well if you don't have if it anti-aliasing. But even if you do that, it kind of wrecks the black lines a little bit. So what you do is you shrink it a little bit to help it automatically clear up the lines a little bit. So
yeah.
Yep. I used to actually do that for my own comic too. I would scale things down. Like 10% was just enough to force all of the lines together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I used to do that. But I know he can do color because mm-hmm. he'll have episodes.
Well, there's a pinup right now that's color.
Well, I know, but I mean, not.
Is it a boy?
That's a girl. Don't you see the boobs?
No. I thought the artist was female.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. Now I'm God, I thought it was a woman.
Well, they just go by mime.
Which is not helpful.
No.
I was under the impression it was a woman, but
that's really weird.
Sounds really horrible.
I remember talking to this person on Webcomic List a while back, I thought.
The odd thing is that when we're talking to people on forums, we don't generally send pictures of our gender.
I usually just go by whatever their avatar is and think that they're that. You're a car? Okay.
Excellent. You talk to a lot of Transformers and Smurfs.
Oh, wait a minute. Do I have that sound?
Oh, nice. Yes. I just turned into a camera.
All right. Let's see. There might be some. We got to get out of here.
Tom says Toy Division's a female.
There we go.
I may have some. The webcomic Beacon may be facing some changes coming soon. I think you and Aaron, you guys know what I'm talking about.
And not sex changes. I know.
No.
Okay, we got some different changes that we're talking about then.
Thanks.
No, there's some changes that might be coming to the webcomic Beacon. We may find ourselves on a new host soon, and we may find ourselves with a bigger readership, but that is yet to be finalized, but we may find out in a week or two. And we'll, guys, keep you posted just to let you know nothing's going to be changing.
It's a listenership.
Yeah, except readership probably, and we might have more people to interview.
Excellent. Hey. That means we're going to have to interview better.
No.
I tried interviewing better at the beginning. If anyone listens to the earlier episodes, you'll hear this very structured, very concise, very professional sounding podcast, and then about episode 6 it goes to crap. And because I just can't edit it as well anymore, and people wanted to hear that. People find it better without the edits, and I prefer informal interviews. It's better.
I find it lovely that people enjoy us best when we finish the show and we're like, well, that was utter shit.
Yeah.
Dude, I have to censor that.
She was talking about, she was quoting someone else.
Yeah,
yes, it was a quote.
Whatever. I'm gonna be less stickler about what I'm censoring. If I happen to miss something, oh well, I'm not gonna be whatever. But you know, I know about that one, so I'm gonna go and do that. But I'm not gonna adamantly listen to the thing and say, oh, he said duty or something. Oh, whatever. Anyway. You guys had a really long podcast last week. This one's going to be a bit average. Well, that's all you're going to get out of us. But we had a great show this week. Josh Lesnick, thanks again for coming on the show. Is there anything else you guys want to plug right before we leave?
I'm going to go with no.
Everyone really liked our thing last week where we each talked about a comic.
Oh, and a special note to anybody who hasn't seen it, if you go to the episode 29 blog post of the Webcomic Beacon and you click on the cover, you actually get to see the full card I kind of made. I don't think it's going to be an actual card. It'd be funny if it would, but I made a fun little mock-up of an imaginary card for the trading card game. So just click on that and you get to see the whole thing.
I got one thing too. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Fine.
Okay, if you think your comic needs a webcomic rescue, you need to email right away webcomicbeacon@gmail.com with your genre, and I...
Oh, please continue.
No, I'd want to do her voice, and I can't.
All right, fine.
Sirens.
go, man, go.
I can't.
Genre, URL, what else?
URL, title, genre, style, update schedule, reason for why you're doing the comic, reason for why you're stuck, and how long you plan on doing it, if we can actually help you.
They sending this to you or to the general email?
Webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Awesome.
And then Fess is going to pay somebody to do a form eventually.
No way. Anyway, you guys can get involved with the show by sending an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Or if you want to leave us a message, you can call in the USA 1-320-310-0922. All right, that's it. We're out of here. You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. I'm Fess from Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya from Betapone.com.
Aaron TableComic.com.
Alright, we're out of here.
Bye.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
I like Betty Page. She was really hot. You know what I really hated about new Betty Page stuff? They Photoshop her to make her look skinny, and it pissed me off.
Isn't that awful?
It pissed me off.
They took she had such beautiful curves. And
yeah, can I get the link up? What you guys are talking about? Hey.
I think we're just talking in general.
Well, I know, but is there... especially whenever Tanya starts talking about curvy women, it's always like, Tanya...